One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hard to do a barbershop quartet with two people.
It's freaking Ryan. He has to go on tour and ruin our musical.
I know,
house.
Right? Once again, the degenerate-less degenerates here.
Yes, we are the degenerates sans Ryan. He's just finishing up his tour. Same as last week. You're going to hear from him a little bit at the end of this. Him and Dan Bublitz are running around the Midwest, apparently getting themselves into some fun adventures with other comic groups.
They have a great story this week.
I think they almost got jumped by a group of comics.
Well, it happens when you go on the road, you know?
Yeah, the nice thing about getting jumped by a group of comics is the same thing about getting jumped by a group of kindergartners, which is you're going to be fine.
I can take him.
Yeah. You'll be A-okay.
Anything happen this past week, Bobby?
None of those big elections, right?
Yeah, the elections happened. The wildfires tearing through California because of our mismanagement of the forest, apparently.
Right, and here's the problem. You have the wildfire. We never got the expected blue wave, and that wave would have put the fires out.
Boo. Put in the crickets right there. I've got a big weekend this weekend. I'm actually a bridesmaid in a wedding.
Is that like a bullshit version of a bride's best man type thing?
Sort of.
Is that what that
is? It's like I'm not even like the honorary one, like the maid of honor, the best man. I'm just like on the bride's side standing up with the rest of the chicks. I offer to wear a dress.
Okay.
I'm dressed normal though. So
are you super close to this person? Are they a relative?
Not a relative, but a good friend.
Okay. Yeah, why not? I guess. It's just there's no rules, I guess.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be doing bridesmaids shit today, but I have this podcast. I have other stuff to do, so they're going to have to do it without me. I don't know.
I guess that kind of makes sense. It is silly that we have these spots in our weddings that are only for people of the same gender as us that are our friends. You know, like we did, when my wife and I did it, we did something, and you and Ryan were part of this, where instead we had our friends do activities throughout the wedding. So you and Ryan taught the handcuff escape. Some of our other friends
did skills. We got a little rusty, by the way.
Yeah,
I know.
You'd
be disappointed in
100%.
Me for that.
You're asking to get kidnapped like nothing. It's not even going to be hard for somebody to do to you.
Oh, another interesting, we just opened the new location of Madhouse.
Very, very cool.
You were helping out with that a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's a new spot. It's downtown. It's a better location, a little bit smaller.
Way better location. I'm so excited to see that place blow up the way it should have been.
Noticeably
a long time
smaller
ago.
Audience-wise. But here's the thing that's weird. Now, we've only been open for like a week.
Uh-huh.
But the first weekend, grand opening weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all six shows. Definitely a rowdier crowd.
Sure, because you guys moved, if you guys listening aren't familiar, you moved from the top story of a mall downtown, which is
abandoned mall.
It's abandoned mall. As the crow flies, it's only a few hundred meters from where you are now, but you've moved into the heart of downtown, like the
on street
the
level.
Foot traffic heart that used to be the Hard Rock Cafe of downtown. And I was talking to Robert, the guy who owns Madhouse, when he was first doing this, and I was helping him out with it, which was, man, you better be ready for this is the roving band of drunk Marines territory that you're in right now.
Now, the thing is, when I say they're rowdier, I don't mean like whatever you're picturing, that's not quite it. When I say rowdier, every single comic on all the shows had at least one instance of an audience member just yelling something out that they thought was relevant to the joke.
And would you say this is completely intoxicated audience?
No. That's okay. Just the vibe. Like,
interesting.
There's like one of our friends, Jason Lawhead, is a really good comic. He tours professionally. Like, this is what he does. He does comedy. He's very polished, very, you know, nice demeanor on stage. He was just setting up a joke, just talking about his fiance. He's like, yeah, my fiance is 32. Some guy way in the back just yells out, dirty 30s. Like that kind of thing. Like,
The kind where you're not only not contributing, but you've probably just stepped on the guy's actual joke.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like, just keep that thought to yourself.
Right. Right.
But it's weird. It's a whole different vibe. So like I said, we've only been open a week, so I don't know if this is going to be a consistent thing, but it's noticeable.
You almost need, you know how those of you guys who aren't comedians, when they're performing, they have something in the back, which is usually a red light that turns on. That means like you got a minute or you got a few minutes left. You got to wrap it up. We need a light for the audience. You have audience.
It would just be on all the time.
No, because you want them to laugh and clap and stuff, right? But when one person starts making noise, somebody hits the light, a blue light starts flashing.
Yeah, it's a good spot, though. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot, gorgeous old building. If you guys have been to Madhouse or you've never been there, go check it out. I think that is going to be the new premier club in San Diego. It's just got this great dome on the interior of it.
And it's got an awesome gangster history. Like, actual gangsters used to own that building and do mob shit in there.
When I was helping the owner, Robert, build it out, and we were tearing out stuff and building up stuff, we tore it out, and we kept getting excited when we would tear out old pieces. We're like, oh, where's the bodies? Let's find some bones in here.
You were doing Geraldo Rivera's Al Capone's vault.
Except I found more interesting stuff.
Did you? I don't know.
I found a set of tap shoes that had been down, like stuck underneath an area for
They'd
a few
been
decades.
Under there for 6 months.
Yeah.
Since they closed the Hard Rock. Only other thing that I have very exciting news for me, super exciting.
Huh.
For the first time in maybe 5 or 6 years, I was able to purchase Comic-Con badges.
Ooh.
Yeah, pre-sale was today. And if anyone is interested in Comic-Con, you know the struggle. Like, you sit online in that stupid fucking waiting room, and then you watch as certain days get sold out, and then it's over, and you're like, fuck, I guess I got to get tickets from a scalper or some shit. But I got two tickets. I got Thursday and Sunday. So excited.
Dude, how crazy is that? That used to be something, like, my brother and I have gone to Comic-Con since I was, like, a baby.
Yeah,
and
2003. I've been every single year since then.
It used to be something that you could go to. It was, like, literally $5 or $10, and my brother knew how to sneak in the back door when it was at the El Cortez before it even made it to the convention center, and you could literally just kind of, like, sneak your way in through an exit. It was such a small-time deal, and now it's the largest cultural event on the fucking face of the earth. It's like, there's a whole bunch of people in Saudi Arabia, like, going to Mecca to go circle the Kaaba, and they're not even coming close to downtown San Diego in July.
I know, right? It's like, I think it was called the Twilight Effect. So I think they said, like, that year, like, when that movie came out, that just attracted all these casual fans who are like, oh my God, there's Twilight shit, let's go do this.
And it's become so unreasonably expensive. I remember,
oh my God, it's ridiculous.
It used to be us comic nerds would go around and hang out there, and you could do that when you were a 10-year-old kid because you would save up your lawn mowing money. And
dude,
you'd
here's
buy
my
a
old man rant
ticket.
For the day. I remember, like, back in the early aughts. Are we calling them the aughts? What do we decide on the zero zeros?
Aughts.
I don't like that. In the early 2000s, I remember you would go to Comic-Con, you could walk around freely, there were no mobs of people, but you would walk up to a kiosk, just a little 5-foot-wide booth with a person standing at it, nobody else around, you'd walk up, hey, I want to get badges for next year. Oh, okay, which days do you want? All 4 days plus preview night. Okay, that'll be $50.
Yep.
Cool. And then you have your badges for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, and
now it's like $300 or something insane.
If you can get it. Yeah,
if you can get
it. And then it gets scalped on the secondhand market. So I'm always thinking, like, man, does that mean there are no more 10-year-old comic nerds walking around Comic-Con? Is this all just super rich neckbeard dudes who are able to afford this on the secondhand market?
One of our Gore Jenner buddies has floated the theory that there's an algorithm that sort of, not rejects, but, like, works against San Diego IP addresses because they want more business from out of town.
Interesting. I mean, all the hotels fill up that week. It's a funny double week in San Diego because it is always back-to-back with Pride. Like, the two things that happen back-to-back, it goes one weekend is Comic-Con and the other weekend is Pride.
Yeah.
And both of those weekends, you cannot find a fucking hotel room to save your life.
Oh, my God. It's like being in Salem for John Grubbs' wedding. Yeah. It's insane.
Well, I know a bunch of people who make their entire monthly rent because they plan to go out of town that weekend.
Yeah.
And then they'll Airbnb their place.
Oh, for sure.
And there were people who had, like, 2-bedroom condos in Mission Valley. Mission Valley, nowhere near downtown, but you can hop on a trolley to get there. Just a regular condo that they pay like $2,300 a month.
Now, a regular Airbnb normally at the year, maybe $150 a night, something
like
that.
Right. They do the weekend for $2,500.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
And people pay that.
Yeah.
Now, there's other people, they don't Airbnb out their place, but I've seen people sell their driveway, their parking spot.
Oh, really?
Like $100 for the weekend or something.
Yeah. You can always go and snag a good parking spot. We used to do that when we lived downtown on busy weekends. We would go park our car someplace else and sell our underground parking spots.
I just want to take a second to appreciate how hard Ryan would be eye-rolling you and I nerding out over Comic-Con.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is why we can do it without
him. Yeah, this is the kind of shit we can get away with without him here.
You know what? Let's have some deep philosophical discussions about whether or not Professor Xavier is actually responsible for the mutant crisis as opposed to solving it. I'm excited, though, for when Ryan finally does come back. He'll be back here next week. I'm excited for him to check out our new studio.
Oh, yeah. You and I have been in here twice now, and he hasn't even seen it.
You're an old hat at the studio, Dave. Yeah,
absolutely.
This is going to be awesome because we're going to be able to do stuff. We're going to be able to do some more stuff. We can probably do some special shows in between. We'll have more recording time. Before, when we're just recording in my living room, I got to worry about when my son and wife come home and stuff. And now we've got a lot
here's
more.
Here's something.
Freedom
maybe we might be able to prank him by when he comes back. Let's give him a fake address or at least a different room in this building. And you and I'll be there. It'll just be like a little shitty wooden table.
I like that.
With a fucking broken laptop. Like, this is a new studio. What do you think?
Well, he just shows up and I just have it set up in my van outside in the parking lot. And like, this is all we can afford.
Well, I figure if I hang out here long enough, maybe they'll offer me a room inside, you know?
I do like the idea of punking Ryan on this. Hopefully he won't listen to this episode and know that that's coming up.
But, no, that's only me that doesn't listen. He'll be wise to pick it up.
All right, well, speaking of Ryan, we're going to cut back to the Midwest where you'll hear Ryan and Dan Bublitz finishing up their tour out there. And like I said, I think they started some Lord of the Flies shit at one of those one of those events. I think they had an incident where they...
He's got a great story for this week.
Yeah, they got a bunch of comedians pissed off at them. So why don't we head out to the Midwest where you'll hear about Ryan and the end of his tour.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I'm joining you remotely from the tour I'm on. I'm still on tour at the time of this recording. I'm in Iowa.
Whoa.
And boy, is it a frozen shithole here.
It is definitely cold.
It's cold. The downtown area was actually a little bit more than I was expecting, actually. It's kind of a lot of bars.
Well, yeah,
People like to drink here.
Yeah. I respect that. How else do you stay warm?
The 15-minute drive from the city to our hotel, like, I just kept seeing, like, every other lot, there'd just be, like, a scary-looking roadside bar, just like, come in, come out of the cold and get wasted.
Yeah, exactly. We'll warm you up. So, how about some whiskey?
Dude, it was the middle of a weekday, and there was just, like, 9-10 trucks parked out in front of that. But I'm like, dude, is that all people do around here, is just sit around this Cozy's Tavern and get wasted all day?
That's exactly what we do in the Midwest. We sit around taverns all day and get cozy.
Dude. Anyways, so I wanted to, and by the way, I will be back with the Degenerates by next recording, I look forward to that. But in the meantime, I wanted to tell you guys a little story with Dan in attendance here, because he was there too, about hopefully the worst show of the tour, which occurred last night in Kansas City, Missouri. So, the gig was booked through a friend of Dan's,
I booked it.
Right.
He didn't really do the booking. He just put me in contact with the owner of the bar.
Now, we're going in blind to almost every show on this tour, so, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. But,
yep.
So we get there, and we commissioned a up-and-coming comic from that area to be the MC and the opening act, right? So we meet him, and he'd been plugging that show for a while now, and I saw it on his Facebook, and we get there, and I knew we were doomed from the minute I walked in, and he was just kind of like, I'm so sorry. You shouldn't have picked this venue. This is not a good venue for comedy. I'm like, oh boy, tell me more. So,
which turns out apparently there's some drama in the Kansas City comedy scene.
A lot, right? Like, yeah. that was more than, like, every time I talked to a comic last night, they're like, I fucking hate this one guy.
Yeah. Very.
So anyway, drama in a comedy scene, who knew?
That never happens.
People start to trickle in very slowly. It was we knew it was going to be a slow night because it was a Wednesday. So, I mean, like I said last episode, save your money from the Thursday through Saturday or Sunday night shows, because you're going to need that for the Monday through Wednesday shows. We didn't expect a sellout crowd, but people started to trickle in. But then a lot of people started to come in, more than I expected.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Big that bursts. Was our, as far as the few shows that we did door deals on, that was our biggest crowd.
So I'm like, oh, here comes a lot of people. So, and that's when we start to find out that there is or was a off and on open mic at this venue.
At the same time,
usually, which sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't, or something. And so these people, when they, these Kansas City open micers found out or heard there was going to be a comedy show, which was probably just addressed, advertised as comedy night without any other explanation, they probably assumed, or I know for a fact they assumed it was an open mic where they'd be allowed to come on and perform. So they start coming in, and we stop them at the door like, hey, guys, it's you here for the show? Yes. And they have that arrogance and swagger that only an open mic or that only does open mics can have. Where, like, I can tell that walk from a mile away because I used to fucking do it. Is when you show up to an open mic or what you think is an open mic and you have this, like, confidence, like, I'm going to go up there and show these people what's what. I'm gonna show them what this comedy thing's really all about. And, you know, they're probably in their head that they're going to have the set of the night. It's going to be awesome and someone's going to want to blow them or something. I don't know what they're thinking. But they came in like, we're part of the show. I'm like, no, you're not. You know? So like, yo, we are. We're here for the mic, you know. And they have their notebooks that they're so fucking proud of. And you might notice I'm being a little bit cynical right now. There's a reason for it. At first, I was like, oh, hey, nice to meet you, man. They didn't even want to shake my hand. I'm like, did you see that for the first three guys? I put my hand out, and like one of them shook it. The other two didn't. They left me hanging. I'm like, all right. They're like, yeah, we're here for the mic. Just tell us where to sign up because we're going up here. I'm like, they may do a mic afterwards, man, but this is just a booked comedy show. Three comics, opener / MC, and then two co-headliners. But, I mean, maybe they'll let you do one after. I don't give a shit, you know. And so I'm like, you know, if you're comics, I'll knock some cash off. But we do have to charge because we're traveling. We're on tour right now, so I assumed at this point that I was still talking to real comedians. Who would have understood what I just said to them and gone, oh, okay. But, Dan, am I wrong in saying that you did not understand that?
No, not at all. I mean, no. I mean, because the ones that did understand that were already there and had already paid to be at the
right,
show.
Exactly.
Because there was a handful of comics that came to watch. So.
These fucking guys proceed to get fucking salty, arrogant, indignant. They just like they're like, oh, I'm not paying. Fuck that. I'm not paying to see comedy. I'm a real comedian. I'm like, you know, the guy that's hosting this whole thing's a local, and he's already identified you as a newbie that like doesn't even do it yet. So okay, but I didn't have this conversation. But they were just like, they're like, I'm not paying to watch you. No. So they refused to pay. But then, here's where the bad part came. If they had just said, oh, sorry, I misunderstood and left, that would have been fine. I would have been fine with that. Even if they were as shitty as they were, I still would have been fine. But that's not where it ended. Because then, not only did they refuse to pay, they also refused to leave. So there is the venue was divided up into a bar area, and then there was like a entranceway into the showroom. And there's no closing door to it. It's like a big brick arch. So they just, as per the management, we can't, anyone's allowed to be in the bar area because they're not going to turn away paying customers because they wouldn't pay our little measly $10. So they're allowed to be in the bar. And they're just in there fucking with their arms folded. And you can see right in the showroom making snide comments. One dude shows up with his girlfriend, and he's also got the star of the open mic has arrived. And I'm like, hey, man, it's $10 each tonight. And he's like, you bullshitting? You bullshitting. I'm like, no, there's no open mic tonight. I've had this conversation a few times. You can stay. I think they might do one afterwards. And so he asked me something that makes me realize he is for sure not a real comic. He goes, are you funny? No real comic would say that to another comic fucking ever. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely not. That's like some pretentious shit there.
That is like
That's like that's the open mic mentality.
Yeah,
what that is.
That's like that makes me think this is his first open mic because that's not even open micers don't say that. Fucking, that's saying you funny or my favorite. You guys better be funny. That is something like the shitty line cook at the non-comedy venue says when you arrive an hour early for the show. Are you funny? But anyway, he haggles his way down. I gave him 2 for 1, and he sat in there, and the entire time just giving off this shitty vibe. Like the MC went up, told his first joke. This guy's like shaking his head no and just scowling because he didn't get to go up.
And he's got his arms crossed. And not only that, he had a lady with him, and he pretty much got her to act the same way. She was just acting the same way as he was.
Got her to act the same way, and after every, and because of this negative vibe, the first few comics are not doing well.
No.
Understandably. It's compounding because people are now like in this fucking area. And by the way, some of these comics, even though we said, all right, you have to stay in the bar if you don't pay the cover, they're just coming in anyway. And I'm not about to get in fucking three separate fist fights over $10. So anyways, they're coming in. They're making snide comments in between jokes. They're shaking their head no at everything. All because why? They didn't get to go up and read out of their notebook their abortion and rape jokes. That's really what it is. You're such a little fucking baby about the fact that you didn't get to go up and do 3 minutes that you're going to like sit there and be a shitheel about it. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly. That's so anyways, funny too because, you know, back at, you know, the real comic mentality that they acted like. It's like, you know what, motherfucker? You ain't a real comic until you travel to another city to do a dive bar on a Wednesday for like 10 people.
Right.
That half don't want to be there. We do that. When you endure that night and then have to go pay for your hotel and your gas to get here and you're lucky you barely covered your expenses.
Right.
Then come back and tell me and act like you're a comedian.
Yeah. All this fucking arrogance you're exuding right now can fucking stop because if you were a real comic, you would understand everything I'm going through right now. I wouldn't have to fucking explain a thing to you about it. So anyway, that one guy that was sitting there shaking. Oh, and by the way, when a joke wouldn't hit, he would cross his arms and look across the room at me like I owed him $10. Fucking asshole. So he left, and it was like the first time ever that an audience member walked out of a show where I had yet to go on, where I wasn't bummed out, in fact, psyched about it. I was like, oh, good, that fucking asshole left. So anyways, and there was another guy. Oh, this is my favorite part. This Russian guy showed up. He's like a local in the Kansas City, Missouri comedy scene. This guy's like, he starts chuckling when we said he had to pay. He's like, oh, no, you must not know me. And like I said, the fucking host of the show knows everyone in that scene. He's like, oh, yeah, that's Oleg or whatever his fucking stupid name was. He's like, yeah, he does 32-year-old Yakov Smirnoff bits. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, that's his whole act. Like, in Russia, you take woman. You know, it's fucking retarded. So, this guy is arrogant, and he's like, pay? Oh, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, well, all right, I'm sorry, man. And he's like, well, and he gets, like, real grandiose. Like, I think I'll just call Steven and see what he has to say about it. I'm like, who the fuck is Steven? The owner's right there. The GM's right here. The booker is us. I don't know who the fuck Steven is. Turns out it was the guy who sometimes runs the open mic. And he said it with all the bravado of, I want to speak to your manager at the day job. Like, I was going to go, oh, God, don't call Steven. What mentality do you have to be in? Like, well, I'm going to call my friend you don't know that has no fucking skin in the game here. And then we'll see what's what. So anyway, he fucked off, and I don't know. In America, the open micers watch you. That's what I should have said to that asshole. So anyways, the show happens, and the reason I'm talking about this isn't to gripe about it because we got through it. Whatever. You have to anticipate these kinds of harsh nights on the road. But the one thing that I had trouble not doing is, because I was closing out the show, is our opener / MC, Spencer, he gave me the dirt on all these assholes that were in this bar contributing to this negative, negative vibe. And I wanted no more than to go up. I wanted nothing more than to go up there and just unload on them and fucking tell each and every one of them, hey, dickhead, you do Yakov Smirnoff jokes. Hey, you haven't ever gotten a laugh according to your entire scene. Hey, you, oh, you didn't get to go up under the... I wanted to do all of it. I wanted to use 30 straight minutes of shitting on them. My goal at one point when I was sitting in the back there, I was like, I'm going to see if I can get every single one of them to leave while I'm on stage. That would be great. I'll have my billboard in Philadelphia moment. That'll be fantastic. But I had to remember that there were some people that came that paid to see a show,
to see
comics that they wouldn't ordinarily get to see. And I had to remember that and just focus on them. And it was tough because those little shitty assholes were still making snide comments in between jokes. I wasn't giving them the room to say it because I was hitting my punchline, going on to the next one. But when one joke that I tried out for the first time fell flat two-thirds away through the set, some fucking old bitch drinking by herself in the bar, not funny. She also didn't get to go up on the open mic and is now getting wasted about it and yelling, not funny. I'm like, yeah. On my way out, I'm like, yeah, not sexy. That's why you're drinking alone, bitch. So when she looked at the bartender and went, did he say that to me? So anyways, those nights will happen. And that's pretty much the end of the story, I guess.
Yeah, I would just like to add to this. If you're a comic and you get booked to do a guest spot on a show, don't run the motherfucking light. Ooh, respect it. Respect the other people that are on the show. Don't acknowledge the light and then do another fucking bit. Like, yeah, I see it, but I ain't done yet.
Yeah.
No, that's not fucking right. I don't give a shit who you are.
Yep.
If you fucking see the light, respect the fucking light.
Yeah, well,
that annoyed me, and I maybe I'm an old bitter comic when it comes to that, but when you give somebody a guest spot, and because you're being nice, we don't have to give anybody
this
a guest
guy
spot.
Let's preface this. This guy hit us up.
He hit us up. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, he hit us up. It's somebody that we kind of knew from the San Diego scene that lives back here in Kansas City, and I have nothing against him personally.
No, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. But I just don't like when comics run the light, and you can tell they know that they're running the light. Like, he's seen the light, acknowledged the light, acted like he was going to finish, and then he decided, you know what? I don't feel like I'm ready to get off yet. And then he moved the mic stand back and started doing another bit.
Right.
Then we give him another light. He acknowledges it.
Kind of shittily, too. Like, fantastic.
Yeah, and then does the same thing. Acts like he's going to get off, getting, you know, ready for to eject the stage or the dismount. And then he puts the stand back behind him and starts telling another joke.
Now,
and that, to me, that's very disrespectful.
I mean, of course you
got to have, you know, you're getting a guest spot. You should be grateful for that guest spot and respect the time. It's one thing if you don't see the light. You know what I mean? Like, that happens. I had that happen at a comedy club a couple weeks ago where nobody on the show saw the light. Where they had it just was in a bad spot. And everybody, including the headliner, ran the light that night.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you see the light and especially if you acknowledge it, don't fucking keep going.
Yeah.
Now you're just being arrogant. And
here's the moral of this whole story, why I'm telling it, is because everyone there chose when, you know, comics came through their town that they didn't know, they chose to be shitty about it. And the thing is, there were, like Dan said, some people that did pay to get into the show that were comics. And they just wanted to see some comics they had never seen before. Afterwards, those guys came and talked to me, and every single one of them, I made sure they got my business card and contact information, and I told them, very seriously, if you are ever in San Diego or L.A. or anywhere in my, any place I have any clout with, hit me up. I'd love to help you get some work, you know? So if you're planning a tour and it needs to come through Southern California, I'm your guy, okay? And I meant that, and I'll honor that, you know, because they were just meeting me and being nice. All these little shitheel wannabes in the lounge area did not walk away with my contact information because they wanted to be shitty and do a little silent protest because they didn't get their little open mic time. And look what it cost them. If they had come in and right before we started, I was even like, yo, guys, this is the most egregious part. We're about to start. I'm like, yo, guys, I know you're here for the open mic and it's not happening. I feel bad about that. So why don't you just come in? Don't worry about the cover. And they all went, no. They folded their arms, went, no, we're not going to go. Why? I'm the only comedian here. So look what that cost them. Absolutely. Not that I think that any of them will ever be able to go on a tour. They won't. They're not going to get out of Kansas City. They're going to die there. But if they were, they now have cost themselves a contact. So this goes to my original point that I started when I started this tour. It pays to be fucking nice.
Absolutely.
It pays to be personable. It pays to shake someone's hand, be polite, and say, nice to meet you.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're going to continue this tour tonight in Iowa. By the time this airs, I should be back in California. So this is Ryan for Dave, Bobby, and Dan Bublitz saying see you next week, Cruising with the Twos.
Motherfucking time is passing by.